And welcome back, everyone, today to the April 4th through 5th, 2024 GFMP Commission meeting. We're going to jump right into it. Yesterday, we were looking at a video, and I know we had a few technical issues, and so we wanted to take the opportunity to relook at that video. So we'll go there now.
It worked really good on the break.
It worked yesterday.
Oh, there it is.
Well, we don't have the audio, but read some of the steps there.
This is the latest one. It's not quite. That one hasn't even been released yet. So.
Assets on here.
Very good. Sometimes technology is our friend, and sometimes it is not. But that was a good view of what's up. For showing that to us again, and I know we all as commissioners got the YouTube link, so we can surely take a look at that. With that, we're going to jump right into our agenda. Yesterday we ended with our waterfowl issue, our non-resident waterfowl issue. Today we're going to jump to Division of Parks and Recreation, number 20 on the list, fish theme marketing update, and it looks like we might have a group effort here, so welcome.
Good morning, Commission, Madam Chair, Secretary Roebling, April Larson, Marketing Coordinator. I'm here today to talk about the Reel in Memories campaign, but taking a little bit of a unique spin. So Reel in Memories, this is part of our annual theme activity that we always do, and then we have usually a marketing campaign that goes with it. But today I actually want to talk more about what we're doing more on the in-the-field kind of efforts. So we have three kind of big fun things kind of happening or great kind of promotional efforts to get promotion for fishing in our parks. So the first one I want to talk about is the new consistent fish board signs that are being installed this year. The second one, we'll go in to talk more about the events that are happening with fishing theme for this year that you'll be looking forward to seeing happening. And then the third one is some fishing amenities that are new for the public to use this year. So we'll dive a little bit more in that. I do have a couple experts that will join me throughout this, being that I am speaking more as overall to be able to promote fishing in our parks. The first one is the fish board signs that I wanted to showcase. This has been a great effort that's been led by our park operation leadership team with the help of our graphic artist, Allie Ellingson, to work on artwork. And the marketing effort behind the fish board signs, so we're working on getting consistent signs in our parks that promote the park name along with the water body that is there. So the intent is that we really want to encourage anglers to, one, take a photo and post it on social media to help promote our parks and promote the great fishing access available to them in our park. But it's also to showcase for those that may not be as active with fishing to know that it's a great park to also fish. So if they see this consistent sign overall, the goal is that, again, marketing effort, consistent brand, you see it, you recognize it, oh, it's a great fishing spot. So the picture you see here is actually one of the old signs. So this is kind of what was used for kind of that inspiration for moving forward that will be put into our parks. But it will be consistent. If you switch to the next slide, it will actually be a metal composite sign. For example, West Bend Recreation Area, share your fishing adventure, encouraging them to snap a photo and then upload it to social media and tag us with our SD in the field hashtag. With the metal sign, it will be adhered to a wooden frame. So that's what you're seeing in this diagram. It will have that same board that will run across, and there'll be fish hooks for then the fish to be put on the hook so that you can actually take a nice photo with the group. So again, a nice little promotional marketing effort to get really folks engaged and to commemorate their fishing trip when they're in our South Dakota state parks. The second item that I'm looking to showcase with you with fishing in our parks, and Sheila Larson, the R3 our relevancy manager, will be joining me for this section as well. We do have an opportunity with our theme this year to really partner with wildlife. So part of this presentation will be going through some of the great efforts that we'll be doing and showcasing here in 2024. Right now, what's happening is we are hiring in the parks a lot of seasonal naturalists and our seasonal employees. We're getting more education folks into our parks and getting them with the resources they need to be able to put on more fishing events this year. I know Royal Lake just sent me an email yesterday saying that they're doing a Cops and Bobbers event too. This is an event that our naturalist up in the Northeast, Cassie Benke, started at Sandy Shores, and she brought local law enforcement agencies to the park and then invited kids to come out and actually go out fishing on boats and shore fish and have other activities along with all the law enforcement agencies in the area. Royal Lake is starting a little bit smaller. They're working with our conservation officers to then be at Royal Lake, and we're working with additional efforts on this front. As we get more naturalists on staff, they'll be able to organize more of these events as well. So looking forward to having all of them listed out on our GFP event calendar page, so as we continue to get these up and running. We also have a great opportunity with fishing equipment. We have a fair amount of fishing equipment available for free for the public to check out. So we're looking to get some events around getting folks into the park, learning how to cast, learning how the basics to how to fish, and then also folks can from their checkout equipment themselves and then try it themselves. So there's an opportunity with our Reel in Memories activity to be able to check out equipment and try new water bodies as well in our park. And then the third one is we're looking to host some larger fishing events. So this is where Shayla is going to be coming in too to really talk about the big initiative that's going on in 2024. But we're also seeing more fishing event tournaments that are being hosted by parks locally here in the Pier area. There's a fishing derby for kids every year, which is always a fun adventure for families to come out. I know Secretary Roebling has come out to many of those fishing derbies with his family, and it's a great time with prizes. Local community donates prizes for the families and the kids as they catch the fish, and the kids get really excited as they're holding up their fish, and no matter what they catch, they're just very excited for that opportunity. There's other challenges we have going on for social media. One effort in the Northeast will be a Mother's Day challenge. They get out moms to fish with the family. We also have a beginner fishing series that's happening, including Women on the Water. Again, that's with our naturalists up in the Northeast. Cassie is leading that effort as well. It's a three-part series, so women are learning how to back up the boat, how to cook fish, how to cast line, the full endeavor. So it's a great effort. It's great to see some of these classes are, we see them often at the outdoor campuses, but to be able to take more of these events into our park and have higher level education is really exciting for 2024. With the cross promotion efforts, we do have the outdoor campuses helping us in the parks with the Reel in Memories activity. When they are holding events, they are cross promoting that activity, and then they will bring them into our parks afterwards. So they're actually giving them the information to say, hey, we taught your kid how to fish here at the outdoor campus. Take this to the next level, go out to these water bodies, these parks, and continue fishing as a family, and maybe you will get hooked and reel in some memories yourself. And then we have the biggest initiative, which is really exciting. I'm going to turn it over to Shayla Larson here, the R3 and Relevancy Manager, who's going to talk more about the Fish Catch Center that's new to our parks.
Morning, Commissioners, Madam Chair, Secretary Roebling, Shayla Larson, R3 and Relevancy Manager. I have a really exciting opportunity to share with you this morning that I'm so excited to be able to get this into our state parks throughout the summer. So I'm not sure how many of you have heard of the Recreational Boating and Fishing Foundation before. It's based out of Virginia, but I mean, they help out state agencies nationwide. They have R3 related grants every year, but one thing that they started, I think a couple years prior to COVID, was the First Catch Center. And basically what that grant is a $25,000 grant that you are awarded to buy an enclosed trailer, wrap that trailer with specific branding that is required by RBFF, and stock the trailer. So you're looking there, I just picked up the trailer, I think 2 weeks ago, so that's the updated look there. So that's all taken care of and done. One thing I did want to note that 23 other states are participating in this, so we're definitely not the guinea pigs of this endeavor. So I've had a lot of opportunity to be able to speak with folks who have had First Catch Centers in their states, specifically Nebraska, and gave me a ton of really valuable feedback and pointers that kind of took years to collect. So really, really grateful to be able to kind of have that feedback. The most exciting part about this First Catch Center, you know, we thought, how can we get more fishing programming into the parks without overloading park staff more than they already are with their duties in the summer? And Director Kirschman said maybe an opportunity could be to hire an intern. My team has had an intern the past couple summers, and I really think that this would be a wise use of that position, especially being able to do outreach in all these different places. So currently what's been going on is I have a shared calendar, been working with a lot of different parks to get them signed up for events throughout the summer, and then that'll be shared with the intern. The intern is already hired, they're ready to go, really motivated, really excited. My team was really impressed with their classroom management, especially when you go into these parks, and likely there'll be a lot of families with some younger kids, so that's definitely an important skill to have. And have some fly fishing skills, so I was interested in going to the Black Hills and maybe teaching some courses on that. So really liked the variety of options that he'd be able to teach. Some specs with this grant, we only have to report on it for 3 years, and we need to have at least 8 events a year with it. I'm not concerned about that. I already have beyond eight events filled out on the calendar, so that's definitely not an issue. So I'll go ahead and move to the next slide. This isn't the inside of our trailer, but like I said, I've been conversing with Nebraska quite a bit on some pointers of what they did. So this is the inside of their trailer. They just had some really neat kind of homemade ideas. If you can see there, that cart, that's actually a beach cart that they put like PVC pipe in there. So it's easier to transport a large amount of fishing equipment down to the beach so families don't have to wrangle their kids and come up and grab the equipment and come back down. If you look a little closer, it's just kind of showing some manual things with the trailer, like putting down little pieces of wood so things don't slide around, shelving. Just gave us a lot of really interesting pointers. If you see that rack on the way right, it's kind of leaning over some black equipment. That was also made up by Nebraska, and that turns into a V shape, and folks are able to set their rod and reel up against it if they have questions or need help versus laying it on the ground and getting sand into the reel and things like that. So, again, a lot of really great tips were given and have been taken into consideration when stocking the trailer. Next slide, please. This is a rough draft. I do have a couple parks that I'm shifting around some dates with them, but this is the tentative schedule as of right now. Working to get those dates moved around for those last couple parks, and then going to open it up to wildlife regions for maybe some day or weeknight evening programs if they'd like it in their region. Just want to be able to keep the intern busy, but also a big part of their position is going to be maintaining that fishing equipment and making sure that they're touching base with park managers. Another big part of this is I really want this center to be available for communities that would like to start their own fishing clubs and do programming in their own community, so it's a little more self-sufficient for them. So I'll be asking the intern to keep their head on a swivel, and if they do communicate with a community that would like to have a fishing club, then touch base with me. We can help them through the process of getting them set up with a nonprofit, getting them underneath another nonprofit, whatever that might be. Just to make it a little more self-sufficient. But that is what I have for dates to show you.
In my understanding, there's still some additional parks that may be looking to have the trailer added to. This is where we're in that transitional period with seasonals coming on board. So really exciting compared to the 8 events. I mean, we're twice that amount right now looking into early in the season. Switching to the third and final topic, Jason Youngworth just joined me, seasonal biologist, aquatic habitat and access. And this is a really exciting third point, more or less, with the partnership between parks and wildlife. We're able to continue to maintain our park access with fishing amenities and access to great fishing opportunities. So we have three completed projects that we look to highlight, and I'm going to turn it over to Jason momentarily to talk about those three with some pictures. In your commission book, there is a handout on page 96, and this would have more of a completed list of what's happened recently in the last year that is now new or improved for 2024 for the public. So these are three great projects that will either allow great opportunities for folks to get onto the water, whether it's on their kayak, their canoe. Maybe they're super adventurous and they're ones that like to kneeboard on a paddleboard and want to fish off of that. Or it could be that they just have better access to do some shoreline fishing, or there's some better access for them to park their vehicle. So then it's easier for them to get down to the shoreline or to make sure that they have room to maneuver so they can actually go fishing. So with that, if you go to the next slide, we'll switch it over to Jason.
All right, thanks. April, good morning, Commission. Madam Chair, Secretary Roebling, Jason Youngworth, Aquatic Habitat and Access Coordinator for the department. And yeah, we've had a lot of fun over the years. A lot of these projects that you see on that page in your handout are all done with Habitat Stand funds. So it's kind of a unique dual purpose of those funds that have been helped us really accomplish a lot of new and improved and better projects out there and get them done in a lot faster fashion than we have in the past. Of those, on that list that you had there, there was 23 projects completed in 23, and we have 14 projects tentatively planned in 24. I mean, we weren't thinking about this theme when we were doing these. My team goes out, works with the parks managers and park staff every year to find new ways to put out access out there. And a lot of things that we've done, I think it's the first one on the list there, the Pickerel Lake Rec Area project, is a canoe kayak launches. You know, you think those are generally canoe kayaks are just recreational value to them, people just going out recreating. But really, they really improved and kicked off the hunting and fishing aspect. I mean, you go into Shields, Cabela's, and all the stores, there's some pretty elaborate canoes, kayaks, small watercraft that our users are using. You know, people might not be able to afford those large boats or anything like that, but it's another way that anglers can get out there and use. And we've seen some different trends with that. You know, females are big getting recruited into the fishing activity and hunting using these. They don't need anybody else to help them, or youth, they can get out there. So it's another fun benefit. Just to kind of quick summarize the categories there, you know, we've done a lot of kayak access, some dam spillway projects in parks, boat ramps, fish habitat structures, piers, parking improvements, shore fishing improvements, all those different types of categories. So you want to hit the next slide for me? Yeah, this first one here is that canoe kayak launch at Pedro Lake Rec area. It's a neat dock system. They can be formatted many different ways. We order them. So like this one has the canoe kayak launch off to the side. I mean, they're dual purpose uses. I mean, kids can fish off them. Anybody can fish off if they need to. It doesn't tie up the actual boat ramp, which is a kind of a user conflict we've heard at times. You know, they come down there, want to go put in on the boat ramp. And then what we've heard from canoe kayak launchers as well, they don't necessarily like to put in on that concrete boat ramp. It scuffs up the bottom of their boats and stuff. So it's just kind of a different area off to the side that gets out. And we see, like, I think this picture was taken right after this dock was put in. You know, a lot of times we have users waiting. You know, when they hear or see us out there putting these projects on the ground, this individual is actually there waiting to use it. We got done with it and was out there using it. So it's a pretty fun project. We have, I think we put 7 of these out last year. I think, was it 4 or 5 of them in parks area specifically. So next slide, please. Here's an improved shoreline access. It's down at West Bend Rec area, just south of town here. Looking at a way, there's a lot of riverfront shoreline on Lake Sharp here that anglers can fish on, but there's a lot of beach there, a lot of recreational users. A lot of kids and people will fish off the docks, but during the summer, this is a very high-use area. It gets a lot of user conflicts. So what the guys, what my team and the park staff did is they looked at it. You can see in the two pictures, the before and the after, that's that same shoreline looking off to the riverside of the ramp there. Really overgrown with brush and shrubs and stuff like that. So a quick, real simple, easy project. They come and just cleared all that brush along that whole shoreline. And actually on the other side of the dock is another stretch that they did. Opened up and a ton of more area for use for shore fishing. The bay is actually in the marina there. It's protected from the wind and stuff like that, the elements. So it's really good fishing a lot of the times of the year. Those fish like to be in there anyways. So it's a good dual purpose project. Next slide, please. And another one that we did was looking at improving some parking issues. Fort George boat ramp, just south of town here on 34. It's a pretty small boat ramp, but it's getting to be more and more popular every year. That stretch of the river just south of town here, anglers are getting more accustomed to when those fish are there, especially late summer into throughout the fall. In the past, it only had probably parking for about 5 to 10 rigs, depending on how they parked when they got in there. So it was what the staff did. They collaborated, and we don't have a full map on here to show you, but it's kind of a work in progress. How it went is just up. This is like a stair system that they built through this ravine that goes right alongside the parking and the ramp there. And right up top behind where this picture would be taken from is a grass overflow parking lot. So it's on a game production area that borders this access area. We're going to leave that grass most of the year for wildlife value and stuff, but we'll mow it towards the end of the summer. We kind of usually do that anyways most years, so we just kind of cut out some trees, built this stair system to get up and down from there. They have to go out and around to park in here, but it'll add probably 20 to 30 rigs can park up there. And then what they did on the other side, so like if you would look straight across from where the stairs are going, is we took and graveled that parking lot. It was just grass, like what was behind here. We mowed it down, added some gravel on there, and it adds another 15 to 20 parking spots right there immediately. And we've had a lot of positive feedback on it. It's getting traffic off the highway quicker and just a more functional opportunity out there. So that's just a few of the projects that we've done. Wanted to highlight some. It's been a great partnership with parks and using habitat stamp funds to get things done out there for our hunters and anglers, though. So.
Thank you. And with that, we'll take questions.
Very good. Any questions for any of the three that we've heard from this morning, or comments? No question. You know, I do have one, and I don't know, Shayla or April, you can answer it. The fishing, let's get out and go fishing, the trailer.
Center.
Yeah.
Yep.
3 years is what we have to fill. Do you foresee going beyond that 3 years, or are we going to hit our 3 years and then be done, or
any thoughts? 3 years is just the amount that it has to be reported on, but I would love it to see you go past 3 years.
That's what
I can help with this one. So Shayla Larson from the corner was saying that the 3 years is the requirement for that grant, so that's a $25,000 grant, and then I believe there's some supplemental money afterwards, correct, to maintain it?
Potential in the second year.
Those additional years after. So after that, it just becomes the cost to Game Fish and Parks to maintain it after the 3 years. From the experience of me being here for 2.5 years, I can say many of these trailers we keep in going after that. Sometimes we may not have, say, like the intern or the staff to specifically get it across the state to the level, but it'll most likely be for like a region or will continue. But I hope that as we continue with that, it will stay.
I've asked for ice fishing equipment to be stocked as well, so it could be utilized in the winter.
So, yeah, we're looking to expand it to be able to do winter activities with ice fishing.
Excellent. Commissioner Beeks?
Yeah, Jason, when you're doing all these projects, what's the criteria on where you're picking to put these improvements and stuff for the fishermen and lake access?
Sure. Yes, please. Jason Young, North Quad Habitat and Access Coordinator. Thanks for that question. That's a good topic. We get that asked a lot. Because what we do is just try to have meetings throughout the year with my team and parks districts and wildlife staff and whoever. They can bring ideas forward, and we try to target ones that make the most sense, that opportunities exist out there. We can get them on the ground as quickly as we can to make a difference. So it's where we have the permitting in place or the funding, the partnerships, or whatever that might be, and whatever rates the highest. You know, with like the canoe kayaks, for example, you know, that's becoming more and more popular, and groups are trying to find ways to get in there. We're sometimes finding partnerships with, I think, the canoe and kayak groups out of, like, Sioux Falls, for instance. You know, they can bring funds forward or whatever that way. So it's just having those conversations throughout the year to see what makes the most sense, what priorities rise to the top.
The reason I asked, I've had several people from the Pier area call me, and they're talking about the bridge, how traditionally the fish are kind of congregated up underneath the bridge here that they're replacing, the old bridge. Yep. And they asked that if the department have ever considered or if it was even possible that when they tear that bridge out, to leave the first pier on each side of the river, like on the west side, and just the column coming up, when they tear it out, and if there would be a way to put like a dock system going out to that pier for handicapped people to fish off of. It's not that fair, fall apart, it's very shallow water going out to those first piers. And they were just thinking that that would be a really good place to put a dock system around that and back to the shore for frogs, because that's, you know, would be a lot of access for fishermen right there to where the fish congregate around those pillars and stuff. And I just said I'd bring it up, see what that process is, something that Game Fish had ever looked at or even considered.
Do the chair. Yeah, we've actually had conversations with my biologist here, Kyle Potter, out of the Fort Pierre office. He's been in conversations with the city of Fort Pierre specifically on that topic, and there's plans out there to not necessarily leave the piers or the columns there, but they have visions of establishing like a platform that would go out over the river kind of in that same area. They wouldn't use it, be just kind of a cantilever platform that would go out to get anglers and users out over top and use that space right there. There's actually several other options or things that they're looking at. They're going to improve a trail system along the river along that stretch, and there's some culverts for a storm sewer drainage that would go out into the river, and they're going to redo those with some step systems we've talked about and trying to partner, you know, between the two groups to get those on the ground and things like that. So we have been in some conversations on making some improvements like that. It's a little bit more time-consuming and cumbersome working, you know, with those entities. Not working with those entities, but trying to get through the core process and with the infrastructure that has to be there for the river and everything, but there has been conversation, so yeah, that's great idea.
Yeah, that's good to hear, because you know, that structure's already there, and that'd be a pretty expensive piece of structure to put in to anchor to. And if it's already there, why tear it out if we can utilize it?
Great idea.
Additional questions or comments? Secretary.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I just want to say thank you to all the staff that are involved with this Reel in Memories campaign. This is such an exciting, fun opportunity for the parks and the wildlife divisions to come together and really, you know, work together on projects and events, and I'm very, very proud of the team. So I'm very excited about what the summer has to hold here, and getting more people into our parks fishing is just perfect for our mission and our vision. So thank you, staff, and keep up the good work.
Yes, Commissioner Bartley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And for Shayla, with the trailer and whatnot that, you know, that we've got, which is a great project, would that be able to be leased out or rented out to, say, private fishing clubs, things like that? Maybe not right away because of the grant parameters, but is that something? And I'm thinking of, like, that group that we met in Watertown, you know, that engaged young people and whatnot. If that would be, say, an opportunity to just put on an event, it may not be necessarily related to the parks or anything, but to just encourage getting kids fishing.
Yes, thank you, Commissioner Bartling. That's a great question to ask and really opens an opportunity to kind of expand more. Absolutely. I don't know if we could lease it to them, like money-wise, legally. I do envision using this trailer for communities that would like to start their own clubs. It probably can't stay with them for an extended period of time, but maybe if they wanted to test out 1 to 2 events and they didn't have the financial means to, you know, have a stock of rod and reels or the different equipment they might need until they knew that there would be enough interest in their community. One thought I had was, you know, could they go under the Isaac Walton League in their community as far as, you know, having some guidance or the 501c3 adventure that is. I'm just kind of thinking of things like that. I'm sorry, does that answer your question? I probably should expand a little more.
Thank you again, Commissioner Bartley. That answers it. And I'm just thinking of, you know, like I'm thinking down in my neck of the woods, there's the Berkeley Recreation Area. They're doing a lot of renovating. Community people are doing it, of course, with cooperation with GFP. And I don't know what the fishing is like in that lake per se anymore. I grew up there as a kid, but, you know, it got dew, the water got yuck, you know. But it's getting better, and I'm just thinking, I know they want to invigorate that recreation area, and I'm just wondering if they would. Of course, that is a recreation area for GFP, so that could be something maybe the team down in Chamberlain, and I think it's kind of Snake Creek, I think, kind of oversee that a bit. But but maybe that Berkeley Recreation Committee might, say, visit with the parks and say, hey, can we do something to open it up for a kids' fishing weekend type thing?
And absolutely. That's something I can look into as well. I've found that the help, I don't know if I want to say help, but the opportunity to bring more, you know, programming in without stressing staff or utilizing volunteers has been well received, and I would really like to extend it out to these communities, even ones that don't have recreation areas for us, kind of modeling it after Watertown Anglers and keeping them in mind. That's actually who offered the idea of having folks that might want to start their own club to go underneath another 501c3 to be able to gain some guidance and clarity.
Very good. Any other questions or comments? Thank you all. Great presentation and great work that you guys are doing.